Praise the Lord, everyone. Everyone that's left after all the classes depart. So anyway, I always just trust that the last lesson, okay. Well, I guess you guys are the ones that the Lord wanted you to hear what we have to say tonight. We are going to be talking about the way of holiness again. This is lesson 7, and this is on the eyes, the things of the eyes. So, yep. Let's go ahead and we'll pray first, and then we'll get started. We'll jump right in. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here tonight again, God, to be in your presence, to be with your people, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this church, my Jesus. I'm so thankful for each and every step that you've brought us, Lord, to bring us to this day, my God. Oh, Lord, to learn more about you today, God, to learn more about you and your ways. We love you so much, and thank you, God. Oh, for moving on each and every one of us that we can be here. Each and every one is a miracle. We are all miracles. And it's all because of you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can just go ahead and be seated. We're going to be going through scriptures here and there. And I don't have any handouts, I'm sorry. But you just have to take your own notes. Tonight, the first portion is going to kind of, we're going to go through quite a few slides, just kind of one right after the other, but later on it's going to slow down a little bit and we'll have a little bit more to talk about. Talking about the eyes, and we're going to start with, go to slide 2, that's Ecclesiastes 1:8, and it reads, "All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." And in the New Living Translation, it reads, "Everything is wearisome beyond description." No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. Boy, just think about that. Isn't that the truth, though? How many? I guess that's kind of the kind of goes along with the bucket list of things, right? Everybody's got a bucket list of things that they want to do in their life and stuff. It's just another thing. No matter how much we see, if we see everything in America, then we have to go to Europe. If we see everything in Europe, then we have to go to China. If we've seen everything in the world, then you want to go to the moon, right? And if you got enough money, you can do that these days. There's people that do that. So we're never content. Going to slide 3, Matthew 6:22, talking again about the eye. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Now that scripture by itself, it kind of has always made me stop and really think on it, kind of ponder on it. It's like, well, yeah, we know that the eye is important, but how does that have to do with light and stuff? I would sometimes not get that. Well, today, again, in my studying, as I kind of started pulling that out a little bit, do you know where, okay, math problem, where Matthew 6:22 and Matthew 6:23, that's right between what numbers? Matthew 21 and Matthew 24, right? So that's where it goes, right between in 22 and 23. Well, in Matthew, I'm going to start at Matthew 6, verse 20. I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and then we're going to go a little bit further than what this verse up here says, what you're looking at. And again, I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. Verse 20 starts out, I don't know if you can get that one or not, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes Brother Tim could pull it up, but I don't know. So just listen close. "Store your treasures in heaven." This is verse 20. "Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. 21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And then it's verse 22 and 23. And then verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for ye will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, what two verses are in between 22 and 24, or 21 and 24? 22 and 23, where it says, your eye, now we're talking first about your treasure in heaven, and then you're talking about two masters here on earth, God and money. And then in between, it's talking about your eyes. Verse 22, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, this is New Living Translation, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Now, this is Jesus talking to people again, too. Now, I have to admit, after all these years, I've never really looked at these scriptures like this. That it, your eyes have so much to do with your treasures in heaven and your life here on earth. So that's one of the reasons why we're looking at it a little bit deeper. It's a way of holiness. Our eyes are a way of holiness. It's something that we have to understand. I'm going to slide 4. This is our biblical foundation for this, that the eye is the gate of the soul. That's what these verses were talking about. Your eye is a lamp. It provides light for your body. Well, where do you get that light? It comes around you. It's the eye is the gate of the soul. So when you open up your eyes, you're opening it up to your soul, because whatever you see, whatever's around you, ends up in your heart. So through the eye, perceptions are made, thoughts are activated, emotions are stirred, and judgments are determined. Think about that. Whenever you meet somebody, what are you doing? You're making these perceptions. Your thoughts are activated. Your emotions are stirred. And then you start judging things. And hopefully we're judging in a righteous judgment, right? God did not say that we can't judge. We have to judge righteously. We have to compare it to the Word of God. We have to compare it to His Spirit. Judge righteously. No, we're not supposed to judge people without righteous judgment. That's definitely true too, but that's what our eyes do. We make all these perceptions with our eyes. If you walk into a new area, you do anything new, and you do all these things come at you, and you start making these judgments on it and perceptions, you get an idea of what's going on. So it is very critical what we willingly set before our eyes, because whatever we see around us is going to become part of us. In Psalm 101, verse 3, where the psalmist David, he made a covenant with his eyes that he promised not to set any wicked thing before him. And that would be good for us too, right? Don't set any wicked thing before us. In Psalm 119, verse 37, he also asked God to give him power to turn his eyes away from vanity. Turn away from vanity. I think we always get a general idea of what these words and terms mean, but vanity refers to anything that is worthless, foolish, empty, destitute of reality. Vain. It's vain. So asking God to turn my eyes away from worthless things, away from foolish things, away from empty things, false things, destitute of reality. So these are the things that we're supposed to turn away from, keep our eyes from. If we go to slide 5, so why did David place such a great value on what his eyes saw? He understood what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's in Matthew 6. So we're understanding that the eye is the light of the body. It's a gate. It's a thing that opens up to our soul, to our spirit. In Luke 11:34, it says a very similar thing. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. So again, we're kind of talking about the tree, the good tree that has good fruit and the wicked tree that has bad fruit. But how does that tree grow? Our eyes are part of that. Slide 6, because the eyes, we find out that the eye is the primary source for external information. If you think of a blind person, and of course when I think of a blind person, the person I think of is Brother Matt Yater. If you don't have your sight, you're going to have a hard time to perceive the things around you. You walk into a room, you don't know where the wall is. You don't know where the stairs are. You don't know. You can't see it right away. Because our eye is our primary source for external information. So slide 7, going on to the next slide. The eye is also the primary stimulant for thought life. When you look at something, immediately your mind starts thinking on something. If it's something you like, then you're going to be thinking on something good. If it's something that you don't care for, then you're going to have bad thoughts about it. Psychologists have actually verified that 90% of our thought life is stimulated by what we see. So that's where I would say that a blind person has, you know, a very hard time understanding the things that are around them because they're stimulated by what they see. Slide 8. The eye is the primary tool for remembering. I'm going to kind of get on a side thing right now about the eye. Think about your eyes. Think about what God has done, how He has created our eyes. And if anybody wants to say, oh, no, I don't believe that we were created. It's just by happen chance. And then ask them, well, what about the eyeball? Imagine, I think all of you have been through classes enough to know that the eye is just an amazing, amazing organ in our body. How it brings in the right amount of light, and even when it's dark, it changes, and all these different things. God has put that in us for a reason. And it's, for one of the reasons, is a tool for remembering. They've also done experiments, whoever they are, right? Whoever these people are. Experiments show that the mind retains 65% of what it sees and hears simultaneously, but only 15% of what it hears alone. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference. And I think that's why we like to watch movies and stuff, right? To have things coming in our eyes and hearing at the same time. And unfortunately, that's why a lot of people remember their movies more than they remember their verses, their Bible verses. Sister Janie will stand, she'll watch her scriptures on her screen sometimes, and that can be helpful for us to retain God's word. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, how do those thoughts get into our hearts? By the things around us. By our eyes are a gate. Our ears are a gate. Those are how they get into us. Slide 9. The lust of the eyes is a major source of temptation. Any of you that have dealt either by yourself personally or maybe somebody that you know that maybe has ADHD or something, and they're constantly, oh, there's a squirrel, there's a squirrel. They're being constantly moved around by the things and from they're drawn away. Major temptations, and it can also be a temptation just for any of us. Our eyes, we always want to find out exactly what that is. What is that over there? What is it? 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes," so the flesh and the eyes are two different things, "and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." That's what we're dealing with. And of course, we know that we as people, we are of the world. But we can have God as our spirit. He is our Savior. He's the one that leads us into the spiritual things. We are in the world. Slide 10. What the eyes indulge in and enjoys, the body will indulge in and enjoy. That's one of the facts of things, that the more that you go, what you really spend time with is what you become, right? Isn't that what they've said to kids or people all along the way? You are who you hang with. Well, you are what you watch, too. You are the things that you see. And we know that it's the eyes can be such a temptation. The scriptures give us examples. I have three of them right here on slide 11. The first one is Eve. What happened to Eve with her eyes? I don't want to go through the whole story of it. You know, when she went to the tree in Genesis 3:6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," what did she do? "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So it was the thing that she saw first. She put herself into a bad situation where she was looking at something that she shouldn't have been looking at. And she found that it was pleasant to her eyes. She liked it. She thought it looked good. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life all right there in front of her. But it was what she saw that led her to the downfall. And then in Joshua, there's a story about a man named Achan. Joshua had led all the people to Jericho, and they had won. The walls came down, and they took over everybody. And then came the small town of Ai. Oh, we don't even need to send all the people. We can just send a small group of people. When they had taken down Jericho, the Lord had said, don't take anything. And in Joshua 7:21, it says, Achan got found out. They didn't win Ai because there was sin in the camp, and Joshua didn't know who it was, and it came down to this man Achan. And Joshua says, tell me what happened. How, you know, why is God upset with all of us because of what you did? What did you do? In Joshua 7:21, it says, when I saw, everybody say that, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. It was his eyes that led him to the sin in the camp. It wasn't just a sin against him. It was a sin against all of those around him. That whole story is really sad, because what does he do? He sees it. He takes it. He knows he wasn't supposed to. He takes all that. And then what does he do with it? He hides it. Doesn't even get to use it. He can't go out and wear it, right? He can't go out and exchange the silver or anything, because everybody's going to know, Achan, where did you get that? Where did you get that? So he's got to hide the stuff that he took. But it was his eyes that led him to that point. Not a good thing. And then our third example in the scripture is David. I think we know David's story here. In second, kind of shortening all of that too, you know, David was supposed to go out to war with the other kings, but this time he just stayed home. And in 2 Samuel 11:2, it says, "And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw," everybody say, he saw "a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Again, this is an example of the eye being a gate into your soul. And the eyes are a gate to the things that lead us into the things that we do. Whatever's in our heart is going to be what we act out. Again, what Jesus was talking about, right? Wherever your treasure is, that's where your desires are going to be too, where your heart's going to be. So it's the eyes that opened up and it came into their heart and led them to do things against God and against themselves. So in slide 12, it says we must guard our eyes. We have to guard the eyes to our soul, guide them, guard them. Protect them. Be diligent to know what you're really looking at. Ask God for discernment. You know, Lord, is this something that I should be looking at or not? In Job 31 and 1, Job, he was, they say that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. So Job was around way before a lot of people. But he, in Job 31:1, says, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" He made a covenant with his eyes that he wasn't going to look outside of his wife. He wasn't going to look at others beyond his wife. So why then should I think upon a maid? Your thoughts and your eyes go together. Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in God's sight. So that will be good for us also. Psalm 101 verse 3. David again says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Cleaving is sticking to you. And if you keep going to look at things that you shouldn't be, it's going to stick. It's going to cleave to you. David said he hated the work of them that turn aside. Going on to the next slide. So we know that Satan is our adversary, and he knows the mind is most easily reached. He's got many, many years of experience with humans. He knows how to tempt you, folks. He knows what's your weak point. He knows how to do these things. He knows that the mind is most easily reached through the eye. Therefore, he brings several temptations before our eyes. Marketing. We all know about marketing, how they sell things, right? The more that they can get it in front of your eyes, why do you suppose they do the kids' cereals down right about this shelf? So that who sees it? The kids see it. "Oh, Mom, this is the one I wanted. This one, I know this one tastes really good. I want this one. I want this one." Yeah. The devil knows how to do it. He knows how to bring things as a temptation. All the different magazines that show up right where you're waiting in line to get to check out. You got all these things around you pulling your attention. Billboards. We know all about this stuff. Back in the Bible days, they might not have had all that kind of stuff, but we know about it. Everything comes before our eyes. You pick up your phone, you pick up your computer, you turn on a television. You don't even at the gas stations. At the gas stations. Not so much around here, but when you get out of the state or whatever, they have screens up there. While you're pumping gas, they want you to see something. That is not by accident, folks. That's not by accident. And it's something that we are in such a spiritual battle all the time. We really are. We have to understand that. We have to understand how Satan uses these different things against us. So he brings these temptations before our eyes. First, it's a way to bring suggestions to our mind that we had not previously considered. You know, while you're standing at the gas station, look at the little screen and find out next thing you should be buying or looking into. Things that you hadn't even thought of before. And that is one thing I've noticed. Without having a television, I am kind of behind the scenes of a lot of things that, you know, there'll be some new thing that comes out, and I go, oh, that's really new. I hadn't seen that before. And go, oh, that's been around for a while. It's like, well, I didn't see it. They got ads going on all kinds of things, and I didn't see them, but it brings suggestions to our mind that we hadn't considered before. A second reason why Satan would use this is to become embedded in our minds so that they can return to tempt us when we're weak or discouraged. It might not bother you so much right at that point, but we know that our memories do work and things keep coming back. Things that we wish we could forget, but they just keep coming back. They're there to tempt us. Satan will make sure that we get tempted again by that. He doesn't want us to forget those weak moments or those things that tripped us up before. There could be a third reason, too, that constant exposure to certain sites and their associated ideas, we become desensitized to them. Desensitized. Things that used to say, oh no, you know, you close your eyes and whatever, and pretty soon, oh yeah, we've seen that before. Oh yeah, that's just the way it is. Because that's what we see all the time. That's the way it is. Well, we've become so desensitized to so many things of God in our society because all these things keep coming up, the constant exposure to it, the sitcoms have been really, really good propaganda in this to desensitize us to different things. I've said it before, what they try to do is to negate fathers. Oh, fathers are just dumb. They don't know anything. The wife doesn't trust them. The kids don't trust them. And he's just a joke. You see that on sitcoms all the time. All the time. And then on the sitcoms, oh, kids know everything and they don't have to follow their parents. And these are things that we've become desensitized to because we've seen it so much around us, and it's not necessarily true life. It's just in a screen, but we become desensitized to it. And then finally, if we do think about these things long enough, they really do become acted upon. And we see that in our society all over the place, too. Things that, you know, 50 years ago would never even have been an idea. Now people are out in open doing all this kind of crazy stuff. So that's what happens when we open up our eyes and we let those, we don't set up any guards. We have to set up guards in our life, in our spirit. Going to slide 14, Matthew 15, verses 19 through 20. says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So the evil things that come into our heart, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, these are all things that defile us. In Isaiah chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read it first and see if you can catch anything from last time I was up here. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. So who is going to be defended? Who's going to have bread and water? Those that speak uprightly. Speak no evil. Those that withhold from shaking hands for bribes. Those that stop their ears from hearing of blood, hear no evil. And those that shut his eyes from seeing evil. Those are the ones that are going to dwell on high in God's place. He's going to be our munition. He's going to be our rock. He's going to be the one that takes care of us. And he's going to provide our bread and our waters for sure. So speak no evil, see no evil, hear no evil. That's what Isaiah 33 says. So our eyes. What are some other things that we have to keep from our eyes? Slide 15 is printed material, of course. Of course, that's one of the first things, printed material. Because what the eye sees, the mind keeps painting pictures of it. So whatever we put, whatever we look at, is going to become a part of us again. It was very interesting, Acts chapter 19, verse 19, these people that got saved, they listened to the disciples and followed the getting born again experience. They repented. They got baptized. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. They got rid of their printed material. What was their printed material that they felt that they had to get rid of? In Acts 19, verse 19, it says, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. These books were expensive. You got to remember back in those days, books were not easy to find. We got them all over the place now, but books were very hard to find back then. And these books in particular, the curious arts, would be things of the occult, magic, those types of things. And they got rid of them. They burned them. 50,000 pieces of silver. What do you suppose that was would be today? What would the value of 50,000 pieces of silver be today? It's got to be a lot. It's got to be a lot, a lot. And I wanted to mention something that there about that was when I first came to God, I had a huge collection of rock and roll albums, and the Lord started convicting me about it that I really shouldn't have those. I wasn't planning on listening to them anymore anyway, but I was kind of like at a point like, well, what should I do with them? Man, if I sell these things, I could get a lot of money, just hundreds, not thousands of dollars, but a few hundred. But the Lord really convicted me that if it's not good for me and for my spirit, you need to get rid of it. And according to this in Acts 19:19, that it was the same thing. They weren't going to sell it to get those 50,000 pieces of silver. They burned them. They got rid of them. They didn't want to it to be in front of their eyes anymore. They weren't going to read it. They were not going to be a part of it anymore. We have to be so careful about what we read, what we consider, what we think on. Because what is read becomes a thought. And then the thought paints a picture. And then the picture stimulates our further thought. And further thought brings us to the actions of what we're going to do. So, of course, as a Christian, we should definitely stay away from printed material of pornography, occult, books filled with sex or obscenities, violence. All these things are against God. Those are not the things that we learn of Christ. We're not learning of Christ of these things. So you don't want to open up your gates to let those things inside. If you're trying to be a Christian and walking with God and being holy, you don't want that stuff to be in there. Slide 17 moves us on to television, movies, and internet. Oh, boy. This lesson actually didn't even have internet as part of it. There is a little section of it because this lesson was originally written in 1999. And that's how far we've... Just think about that. 24 years... How far we've exponentially jumped from just television and things then to what we have today. It's just crazy. So I'm just going to kind of go over here, starting with television. I know not so many people have televisions anymore. And the televisions that they do have are humongous. They're humongous anymore. It's crazy. We went to BJ's the other night and you walked out and there's just all these screens. Oh, they're huge. So even there is the potential for television to have good. There's no doubt about it. There is some good things out there. But I would have to say there's a whole lot more negative than there is positive, because this is a tool that Satan uses to get our minds onto other things, whether it's spending more money or political thoughts or religious thoughts, all these different things that are coming from a screen, that are coming from something programmed to you. That's not, whatever's coming through that screen is programmed to try to reach your mind. And that's not how God works. God works in our hearts. God works through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. Television is really dominated by evil, violence, illicit sex. Anything else that you want to add to that? They're a source of temptation because they just feed the lust that turns our minds. It defiles our minds. Because it just keeps feeding us. More, right? That scripture that said the eye is never satisfied. It's never satisfied. The televisions, they modify our behavior by breaking down our resistance, desensitizing us. You know, oh, that's not a sin. Everybody does it. I see it on television all the time. It's like, well, in comparison to the Word of God, you have to be careful. Things on television, on the movies, they present false values against the Word of God. Sin pays. It's okay to steal. It's okay to steal. No, it's not. Sin pays. Might makes right. If you're stronger than your enemy, that's a good thing. That's what they promote. Sex appeal is all important. That's the only thing that you need to get through life if you just use your flesh to get what you want, money or whatever it is. Another problem with television, movies, and internet is slide 18, that they are a thief of our time. Thief of our time. Ephesians 5:16 says that we should redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeeming means to rescue from loss. Rescue it from loss. Redeeming the time, rescuing it from loss. Colossians 4:5 says to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Again, rescue from loss, using the time that we have. We only have 24 hours a day. Every one of us has 24 hours a day. What are we going to do with it? We have to be careful with that. And hopefully we're not spending all of our time in front of a screen. We could go on to some statistics talking about television. But I think everybody's been desensitized to the numbers on television and stuff. We know how it affects us. We know how it can cause so many different problems in people. And how many people don't have televisions anymore? There are quite a few, but there's still a whole lot of people have them. Big business to sell those televisions. Slide 19, there are some problems with trying to use television moderation. Anything that appeals to the carnal nature is hard to control. The eye just wants to keep seeing something, and it's hard to shut things off. The more that the mind is stimulated through television, the more it desires similar stimulation, which has led us over these 20, 30, 40 years of television. The attention spans of people have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. Most people can't even get through a book anymore. Their attention spans have gotten so short. I have to say mine included. I think mine is getting, because I'm getting older, but anyway. Attention spans get shorter because you've got all that stimulation. And then life seems real boring, doesn't it, if you don't have a constant change in front of you, in front of you, in front of you. But yet God has made such peaceful, wonderful creations around us, and yet our eyes want to see something again and again and again, or something new. The screen is fascinating and easy to watch, but it's very hard to turn off. Any of us can attest to that. We all know that. And one of the problems here, that carnal nature is hard to control because we overestimate our ability to resist the influence. We think, oh yeah, I can shut it off anytime. Well, then you find out an hour later that you haven't shut it off. You've overestimated your ability to resist the influence. And then, of course, on the screens, television, movies, internet, whatever, there's very minimal positive content. Thank the Lord, you can find good things now, but a lot of times you really have to look for it too. It's the negative stuff that keeps popping up so quickly. Slide 20. There is a difference in being exposed to sin in the world and entertaining or inviting it into your home and mind. There's that old saying, our pastor Hall down in Virginia, he would say that you can't control a bird landing on your head. Huh? Oh, or flying over. You can't stop it from flying over, but you can stop it from stopping on your head. So there's nothing you can do about some things. It just happens. But you don't want to take it in. You don't want to entertain it or invite it into your home and into your mind. And everything that we do is, there are times that something, it's not really wrong. But then again, it's like, well, what are you doing? Are you just spending too much time on it? Are you trying to be distracted from other things? The things that you're doing might not really be so bad, or watching that are so bad, but it's what direction are you really going with it? And that's the thing that you have to, again, be considering. These things are a great influence and potential for danger to our children. Again, there's so many studies and things that are on that, with the things that have happened, how it affects our kids. Home video, DVDs, the things that we get in again. You do get to select the DVDs that you get to watch, but I hope you're being really careful about what you're watching too. You know, what exactly is on, what's going to happen in that movie, what's going to jump out at you. a good little thought on that. When in doubt, do without. If you're in doubt about what this movie's actually going to be, just put it aside. Find something else. Things, we can use videos, we can use internet, we can use television, all these things for educational, inspirational, spiritual purposes. They are out there, and it can be really good. I have watched so many good sermons, different things on prayer and all these different things. They are out there. There are good things there. But that's, again, what you have to be careful. Guard what you're watching. Guard it. Set your gate up and don't let just anything come through your gate. Video games. I've never been one to be in video games. I think when they first came out with the Pac-Man stuff, I could do a little bit of it. Or Tetris, is that the one with the ball, the paddles and the ball going back and forth? I did a little bit of that, but I got bored of it pretty quick. But some people get really tied up in their video games. And again, that it can just be so hard. Because there are many that are very detrimental out there. They're extremely violent. They're graphic. There are a lot of stuff. If you wouldn't invite somebody, this is another thing that Brother Hall had said years ago. If you were in your home, in your living room, would you purposely invite an unmarried couple that you knew just needed to come and find a place to be? Would you invite them into their home and then just let them act however they wanted to act? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. But what do we do with the screen? What's happening on the screen? It's still there. You're still seeing it. It's still part of your household. Be careful. Be careful what you're doing. Especially with these games, too. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I have heard these different things. So when you're playing a game, the gun is being put in your video hand. The knife is being put in your video hand. The weapons, they're putting in your hand. I've seen the soldiers, you know, going around the corners and all this stuff. That's a type of desensitizing, too. Desensitizing to all this violence and all the different things. You know, if you can do it on a game. Because what do they do with the Air Force people, when they're learning how to do planes and stuff? What do? Where do they put them? They put them in those machines, big video machines, to teach them how to do all these things. What are you learning when you're standing behind a gun in a game? You're learning it. Don't be desensitized to these things. God has given us a mind and a spirit to discern these things. And again, we could go into all these different internet statistics and stuff, but we know, it can be bad. Kids on it all the time. Not all the time, but kids. I feel so bad for parents these days. It's hard. It's hard to try to be constantly checking on them and how much can I give them and how much shouldn't I get them and all this. So, things to consider when using the internet. Again, there are some good things, but you have to be so careful because you can't just turn it on and let it go. Because the algorithms go in a negative way. Children, young people really have to be closely monitored with their computer time. I watched the TED Talks. I'm sure you've heard of those. There was this guy, he was not a Christian at all. But he had been doing some of this studying on kids' cartoon things and stuff on the internet, on YouTube. And what he said in this TED Talk was that within 12 movies or clips or whatever it was, where you started the child on Peppa Pig, or Paw Patrol, within 10 or 12 steps, you're off into some weird, weird stuff. They showed it on the screen on the TED Talks, and I was like, oh, that is crazy. If you're not watching what your kids are getting into, the algorithm will take you off into weird places. Be careful. Yeah. And some of the things that are on there, I've got grandkids, and I have been on the internet with them and stuff, and some of the things, looking at colored toys half an hour at a time, you know, and not even really talking or anything. It's just looking at them moving around and whatever. But the worst thing about that is that algorithms that I was saying before, that you can get off into these weird things where adults are acting like children, and then bad children at that. They're acting so weird and crazy, and then we wonder why our kids are acting so weird and crazy. Because they're seeing adults on the screens acting super ridiculous and foolish and just awful. And they're teaching them things that are not godly, for sure, not godly. And I know, again, that the whole thing about, oh, that's just in fun. That's just, they're just being funny. Well, some things aren't funny. And we have to learn that. My husband has taught me that over the years, too. That's not something we should be laughing at. He's caught me a few times over the years. You know, why are you laughing at that? You shouldn't be laughing at it. Going on to, again, with kids and the internet and stuff, everybody knows 60 Minutes, the show. They've done more than one episode on children's attitudes, watching what the screen time does to children and toddlers and how they get addicted to it. They get so addicted to it. They have found, you know, in their different studies and stuff, how children's attitudes really do change. And then when you go to take something away from them, they throw these huge temper tantrums and stuff because their eyes are getting caught up in that. Their hearts are getting caught up in that. Their spirits are getting caught up in that. And then when you take them away, they don't have that self-control. You know, so what is it really doing good? What is it? We have to be just so careful. Where's our gates? What are we opening our gates to? Of course, you can add filters. Thank the Lord they do have filters for your computers and stuff. Setting timers, those are things that are good. Texting and chats. We had this conversation in our class the other night about what's wrong with texting. What are some of the things that are wrong with texting? You're only seeing the words. You are not seeing a facial expression. You're not hearing the tone of voice. You don't see the body language. What do they say? Body language is 90% of your conversation. Something about that. Something like that. These are all ways that we interact. And if you can't see them, if you can't hear it, it can lead to such horrible miscommunication pretty easily. So we have to be careful with that, too, the texting, the chats. And we know, all of us have heard about these different scams and stuff, how people just outright lie about who they are online. So you certainly don't want to connect with someone that wants to target you or swindle you, try to swindle you. And again, our time being a steward of, we're not just stewards of money, but we're stewards of our time also. So in all of the screen time stuff, we have to be careful to set a limit to it. Our eyes, where's our gate? Surfing the net, of course, that can be a real problem too, where you just go from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. People really have gotten addicted to it, to where they quit eating because they want to spend time on games or the internet or whatever. They start cutting off relationships. Not good. They miss classes. I've heard of people flunking college courses because they got caught up in games. They're in their room playing games instead of going to their classes. So you definitely got a problem if you're at that point. Finally, to slide 21, if there was ever a time to make a covenant with your eyes, it's today. Today is the day to do that. Make a covenant to the Lord. God, I want to be careful what gets into me. Slide 22. Our eyes and ears are gates to our souls. Whatever we open our gates to are going to be a part of our soul and spirit. That's where our heart is. And then out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Whatever is in here, it's going to come out of our heart. We're going to act on it. But when we become born again in Jesus, that's when we start with a new slate. He gives us a new beginning when we're born again. New spirit, washing away the old sins, washing away all the old stuff. But after you're born again, then it becomes our responsibility to maintain and to keep ourselves clean and holy for Him. And we know it's a process. We do know. It's a process. We don't just become holy all in one day. It's a process. God uses that process in us. Some things are pretty easy to get cleaned up, and others are going to take some elbow grease. Some things you just really have to going to put some effort into changing to becoming holy like Him. It truly is a wonderful thing to be called His. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me? We are new creatures in Him. The old worldly things are passed away. We're walking in newness of life called holiness. This newness with Jesus is called holiness. I put this in knowing this is kind of a hard thing. Some people will think it's kind of a scary thing. But I challenge all of us. Ask the Lord to convict you of the things that are detrimental to your spiritual walk. We are living in the last days, folks. We need to be walking with Him. And if there's something that's between Him and, or me and Him, I want to try to get that out of the way. If there's anything that's weakening you in your spirit, if it's things that you're taking part in, if it's your time that you're spending on the internet, if it's your time on the phone or whatever, if it's your choice of music or the podcast, the things that you look at, the things that you listen to, these things, ask God to convict you about it. It's worth your soul. It is worth your soul to do that. Slide 23, Hebrews 12. Verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read it here from God's Word. Talking about conviction here now. For a short time, our fathers disciplined us as they thought best. Yet God disciplines us for our own good so that we, listen to this, so we can become holy like Him. That's what He disciplines us for. Verse 11, we don't enjoy being disciplined. It always seems to cause more pain than joy. That's why most people, what? I'm not going to pray for convictions. That means I'm going to have problems. Well, yes, it hurts at first, but later on, those who learn from that discipline have peace that comes from doing what is right, knowing that you're clear between you and Him. And then verse 14, we jump down to verse 14, which is up here. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness is so important. Walking peaceful with people and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's how important holiness is. That's why it's important for us to learn it. We have to learn it. We have to ask the Lord to lead us and become better at it. It's not something that just comes naturally, folks. It comes through God's Spirit that leads us and guides us. And we'll go to the last slide up here. start at the top, the way of holiness. Why do we want to walk the way of holiness? How about if everybody read that together with me? Heaven is holy. Jesus is holy. His church is to be holy. We are the church. How about if we just pray right now? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, God, for your wonderful love and your mercy towards us, Lord Jesus. God, it is, oh, you are such a good, good Father to us, Jesus. And you are not the one to just let us go our own way. You're not the one, Jesus, to just turn your head on us and say, well, fine, if you, that's what you want to do. But God, you want us to come to you. You want us to be like you. You want us to be holy and pure because there's peace in it, God. There's so much peace. When we walk in the world, there's so much confusion and hurt and anger and all these different horrible things. But when we walk in you, God, there's peace and there's love and there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, we love you and thank you and praise you, God, for letting us be a part of your church. We truly are your people and to be your children, Lord Jesus, to be your children. We need to follow you and, Lord, let your light shine through us, Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Oh, Lord Jesus, please convict our hearts, Lord Jesus, of the things that we need to set aside. Convict us, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. You are wonderful and mighty, my Jesus. Oh, thank you so much, Lord God. You've given us eyes, God, to see you. Give us spiritual eyes to see you in your ways, my Jesus. Oh, yes, discernment against the things of this world, God, and help us, Lord, to set our gates. Oh, to be guards, to set those guards before us, God. We love you. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory, God. Thank you for your people. God, I ask your blessings upon each and everyone that's represented here today, God. Oh, yes, Lord, help our faith in you, Jesus. Lord, to be strong in you. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you all for being here tonight. I pray God's blessings upon you all. And we will see you again Sunday. Friday already, that's right, for the family night. And you may be dismissed. Amen.